Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
You know how I am, Luke.
Well, yeah, but it's polite to ask, man, because yeah. I know how you're doing, but the listenership doesn't know how you're doing.
Well, I'm having a great time at work. I feel like WrestleTalk's back to the awesomeness. So I genuinely think the last month we've made some of the best content we've ever made.
Back to our winning ways.
Yeah, so proud of No Rolls Barred. Love the predictions videos. The live streams have been going really well. Loved AEW, the pay-per-view. But personally, I fell in a puddle this morning. And I've got a really wet sock.
I don't mean to laugh, but you, the way you, like, you came in this morning with such a grump on your face and you went, guess what happened this morning? So we all guessed, oh, Ollie's punctured another tyre. Of course he's punctured another tyre. He's always puncturing his tyres. Mm. What a shame. And then you said, no, I fell in a puddle.
Mm. I'll get into the full story because you're probably thinking, oh, just the puddle. Why is it? It was more than a puddle.
It was basically a river.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll get into that because first we've got to talk about Raw, unfortunately. This is that pesky wrestling that gets in the way of the good chat. We're going to be talking about the tag title change.
Woo!
To start the show off because we didn't like Raw, so we thought we'd start with a positive. Here is the show.
The second segment on this show was one of the big pre-announced matches that they actually delivered.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
Seth Rollins and Murphy defending their Raw Tag Team titles against the Street Profits in a now or never stipulation.
Yeah, it was, which was weird. Because I know we're trying to be this is the positive start to the show because this was one of the better things on the show. This was not a good show, but this was one of the better parts of it. What was really required the Street Profits to have a now or never stipulation when, you know, they had the one match at Super Letdown and then they had this match where it's like, well, this is your last chance. Last chance saloon now for you boys.
Yeah, it was a real sort of desperate grab to give this match some kind of stakes. It's like back in January, there was the fist fight with Big Show, Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens versus Rollins and his disciples.
Whatever happened to Big Show?
He got ridden off TV by Buddy Murphy, didn't he? It was during that match,
yeah, it
I
was,
think.
Yeah.
But yeah, he'll come back for that Shaq match. WrestleMania 36, Big Show versus Shaq. And they just said fist fight. This is a reported fact. WWE just said this is going to be a fist fight match because it sounded good. They didn't know what that meant until the day of the show, and then they didn't even really know what it was beyond that. When it actually happened. So I think that's what happened here.
Yeah.
They just thought, oh, let's just strap a fancy tagline onto it.
Yeah.
Now or never.
So this was the Street Profits' last chance to win the Raw Tag Team Championships.
Yeah, for a thing that they've only been trying to get for a couple of weeks.
I think they might have had a match against the Viking Raiders as well for the titles, but that felt like very different continuity to this storyline. But anyway, regardless, they had what I would say was the best match at Super Showdown. As a tag match. I thought the Street Profits versus Rollins and Murphy was the best match on that,
totally agree.
On that card. Not very big competition to face off against, but I thought they did have the best match. And again, they had a really, really good match here. Street Profits are over like Rover. The crowd were so, so into the promo they cut beforehand. Mm. Montez Ford was so fired up. Dawkins was awesome. And yeah, these four men then had another great match with a really, really fun finish.
Yeah, you see, I love the finish. I think the finish was excellent. It was essentially AOP are at the top of the stage for the whole match. They come down because they're going to interfere, cost the Street Profits the win.
And they were standing at the top of the ramps so that no one could run out from the back, like Kevin Owens or Samoa Joe or the Raiders. So it was very like smart placing of them.
So the referee turns his back to Seth and is like, no, you guys go away. I'm ejecting you from here. As that's happening, Kevin Owens sneaks in behind Seth, stunners Seth, and then runs out.
Yeah.
And the AOP and Murphy chase him. And that lets Montez Ford hit a frog splash for the win. Really, really great. Because you don't often see WWE book baby faces as smart people.
Yeah, right, completely.
It's nice. It's nice to think, oh, this person I'm cheering for actually has some intellect about them.
Yeah, they're not a goofball.
Oh no, I've signed the contract again. Like that, like Braun Strowman, and to an extent, Aleister Black on this episode too.
Yeah, but it was a really, really fun match and a really good moment as well. I suppose the only downside to this is that directly after the match, like Caruso interviewed Seth and Murphy, where Seth said, it was an injustice that we lost the title, so we're going to be fighting for them again at Elimination Chamber. I was like, okay, cool, so that's the same match 3 times in 10 days. Also, antiquated rematch clauses.
Yes. I mean, I wasn't blown away by the match.
Oh, really?
Maybe it's because the Super Showdown match was really pretty decent. I didn't think this was anywhere in that level. And the last 6 weeks of Raw have had awesome matches based around this storyline and these guys.
It's true, yeah.
I just thought, it was a great finish and it was a newsworthy title change, but I don't think it's the right time for Seth and Buddy to drop it.
That I agree with. I really thought we were going to build to Owens plus partner versus Rollins and Murphy, and they win the titles. In my dream scenario, that my pure fantasy booking world, I had it as Kevin and Sammy.
Oh yeah.
Like Sammy would come over. I mean,
and
technically,
Raven.
And Raven, of course. But like, because Sammy is technically part of the Raw roster. Do you remember that? Like, he signed that contract.
Yeah.
So that he can manage Raw talent, which has never been brought up again. So I kind of had it in my like fantasy booking head that it'd be Kevin and Sammy. But so it's kind of weird that they've just taken the titles off him. And it feels like we're now building to an Owens-Rollins singles match. I wonder if the Samoa Joe concussions / suspensions / they're the same thing have changed their plans. And now they're just going to do a singles match instead.
Yeah, well, that Rollins did say that in the Caruso interview afterwards. He said that he's going to specifically come for Kevin Owens and crucify him.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Hopefully a proper crucifixion.
Hey,
Sandman style.
We haven't had one in many years.
Heyman's booking it.
He's like, finally I will do this and people won't complain about it this time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's get into our Patreon Pledgehammer shoutouts first, and then we'll do the rest of your super chats. So do go over to our Patreon page. You can participate against us in Wrestle League. We do exclusive podcasts there, and you get your name in the credits and shouted out in the show. So thank you. Damn! Ronak Patel.
Ronak Patel. This is one of Pete's best names ever. Big Trouble in Tyson Little, China. That's nice. So good.
Oh, what does this say? Crap Man. Crap Man Snake Table. Crap Man Snake Table?
The Kessel Run, DX Solo. Thank you for your emails yesterday.
I love you.
DX actually messaged us, emailed me last night to say that all those people that tried to super chat but they didn't get through all got refunded.
Yeah.
Because he got emails through from YouTube today that he got refunded.
That's good. Send that money back to us. Justin, could you be any better than Matthew Perry?
Very nice. Paul E. Dangerously Jarman.
Send us an email, man. Come on. $100 Man, CD Holder.
We don't know if you're ever watching.
Just please get in touch.
Dan Van Sky, the Rockets, yes.
Beautiful voice. Float like a butterfly, Samad Ali.
What a dude. Yeah. What an absolute dude. All Mania Club members, except for Demario Nor.
Whoa, thank you. WrestleTalk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez.
Lovely stuff. Whoa. And lastly, no one names their kid this anymore, Larry!
Yes, thank you ever so much, everyone. So shall we get into your reactions of this tag title change?
And the reactions are what I expected this to be about, which is people talking about Ricochet. But so actually one of the first comments we had in the live chat was like, so we're just gonna ignore the Ricochet thing. We're not ignoring the Ricochet thing, but I didn't want to start this off with on such a negative note because this wasn't a good episode of Raw, so I didn't want us just to bury the show from start to end. I wanted to talk about something positive.
Plus, my Raw review that went up earlier was the headline. Yeah. Ricochet buried again.
But it's okay because you guys want to talk about Ricochet, so here we go. Ket says, from Prince Puma to Jobber. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a great deal to say here. Ricochet was apparently meant to be one of Heyman's protected guys. He was meant to be in that mix of Drew McIntyre, Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy, and Ricochet. This was the new class of Heyman. And all those other people had something. Drew McIntyre is in the main event of WrestleMania. Murphy has become a tag team champion and has one of the best acts going at the moment with Seth Rollins. Black is... this week wasn't great for him either, but he's certainly been winning a lot of stuff. Ricochet. Dear God, it's like they're actively trying to bury him. It's like... Heyman isn't pushing Cedric Alexander anymore because he knows Vince is pushing back against it because Alexander used to be a Heyman project too. So he moved on to Ricochet and some forces cut those legs out from underneath him. This can't be a Heyman thing. He's not this stupid.
But I wonder if I'm going to try and pick my words here as carefully as possible. This is, they think they're Daniel Bryaning this, which is we're going to beat him. Yeah, he gets beaten by Brock Lesnar. That loss leads directly to him losing to Riddick Moss. That might lead to another loss. He has a big crisis of confidence. Then he makes this big babyface comeback and then goes on a losing streak and then goes on a winning streak off the back of it. I wonder if that is what their plan is.
But I also wonder if we're just burying him because, you know, someone has said, you know, he sneezed somewhere backstage and now is being buried. And then in a year's time when he's getting pushed, they can turn around and say, like, I see, that was the plan all along. Mm. Did you see the Bully Ray, Cyrus XFM thing he did, or whatever that show is called, Busted Open Radio, where it's him and another guy were saying, like, yeah, the Cena, like the John Cena Fiend match, so Fiend had to lose the title so they could do that match. This is the match they've been building to since WrestleMania 30. And everyone was like, guys, you cannot seriously think they've been planning this for 7 years.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And why can't it be for the title?
Yeah. And they're going like, you marks, you're all dumb. You don't get it. You don't see the big picture. Anyway, Rio Adonte. I hate how they ruined Ricochet. WWE just doesn't care about certain characters.
It's just insane. How can you screw up someone like Ricochet?
Unless this is part of design. It's not the design I would do. Absolutely.
You're saying design in terms of a booking way to get him over, or maybe design as in they are actively trying to bury him because he has annoyed someone.
Booking decision of being like, we're going to send him on this. Because like that Brock Lesnar match had to be by design for a purpose. And this Riddick Moss loss felt like it was done for a purpose. So perhaps I've just got too much faith in Heyman here that we're going to see a better Ricochet. Well, not a better Ricochet, but a better push coming off the back of it.
But so much of that upswell of support for Brian and the Yes Movement was because he was a fantastic promo.
But that,
Ricochet is not a good promo.
But this is what I'm saying. This is why I use Daniel Bryan as the example. They think they can Daniel Bryan this situation. But Daniel Bryan really was lightning in a bottle. But that lightning made them think this is how you make top stars again, which is you just beat them like a drum and they get over.
Yeah.
Without sort of missing a big part of what made Daniel Bryan over. Kevin said, seriously, did Ricochet grab Vince's arm or something? Are they trying to do a redemption storyline, or is it just another burial?
I think it's a burial. But I don't know why.
E-Jam King, with Ricochet losing so much, do you think he'll join Seth's crew?
Maybe. I guess that's one way you could take this that isn't the worst idea in the world. You lost to Brock. You even lost to the 24/7 champion, a joke belt.
No one even knows who he is.
Yeah, and that is a kind of character that the Messiah Act is missing. Mm-hmm. That super flippy guy.
Do you know what would be an amazing storyline there? Is that Seth brings him in, and all of a sudden he becomes his new favorite, leading to buddy jealousy, where he's like, "I used to be." Mm. He becomes Woody, and Ricochet is Buzz.
Yeah. That's probably the best way to take it from here, but I haven't got faith in them to do that.
And Elijah Whitfield, our only be okay would happen to Ricochet if he became one of the disciples.
Yeah. So sort of echoing what the last one said.
Yeah.
So we can say either WWE are mean well and they're just getting it wrong with the booking, or they are just mean and they are getting it right with the booking because they want to bury him. I would lean towards the latter.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of evidence to support that they're essentially going to Cedric this. And it's just like, you had your 3-week push. Now you're being buried because I'm bored of you. Because, like, you know, a lot of people said that that Meltzer and everyone were so off the money with Cedric when they said that Vince has given up on him, being like, no, because he had such that push with AJ. And Cedric himself in interviews was just like, I got so much more over because of that AJ feud. Mm. And then, you know, where's Cedric been? Like, he's not been on TV for what feels like almost a year at this point. Well, I mean, it's not that much, but it feels like that long. Right, do you want to get into the whole show?
Yes, so the go-home show for the Elimination Chamber,
yep.
By the way, there are going to be quite a few hastily announced matches in backstage interviews after an angle.
Yeah. So we did our predictions video yesterday when there was only 3 matches announced because schedules just mean we had to do it on Monday. And one of the big jokes we had in there is that we were going to predict matches that will happen at Elimination Chamber. I guessed 3 of them. We guessed 4 matches, and 3 of those, I was like, they'll do AJ Black, they'll do Rollins, Murphy versus the Street Profits, and they'll do Carrillo versus Andrade for the title. And those are the 3 matches that have been added.
We kind of looked at Raw and just said, well, whatever's on that show, they'll just do it again
and Elimination Chamber.
Very lazy. But the opening segment for Raw was actually very, very good, I thought.
Loved this segment.
Brock Lesnar comes out. Paul Heyman's with him. Paul Heyman does the usual Brock Lesnar's great stuff. And he goes into how Drew's a sham. Actually, you've all bought into him. But all he did was throw Brock over the top rope after Ricochet low blowed him. He didn't decimate or, like, you know,
dominate
15 members of the WWE roster alone like Brock did. Yada, yada, yada. And this brings out Drew. Mm-hmm. Drew, no nonsense, doesn't do a sexist Scott, doesn't point at the WrestleMania sign, just gets in the ring, stands opposite Brock, and they have a stare down. Lesnar smirks and walks off, but then runs back to hit him. And Drew hits a claymore with no forward trajectory.
No, he just knew that Brock was going to turn around and attack him. So he was like, well, I'm going to show you up here. Because like that whole promo was just like, yeah, no, Drew's not on the level of Brock Lesnar. He just got lucky. So Drew went out there to prove a point. And that point was, this isn't luck. I am going to beat you at WrestleMania. So he claymores him right in the face. And this is why Brock is awesome. This is why having Brock as your WWE champion is the best outcome. Yeah. Because he's so good at selling these sorts of moments, when he sells weakness. And him selling weakness for Drew made Drew seem like a megastar.
Yeah.
Like the bee's knees, the next big thing. And yeah, Drew, Heyman selling it as well. Like Heyman getting in, hand on head, being like, oh dear. Oh, well, we're in trouble come WrestleMania, aren't we? And then so like, you know, Brock's groggily trying to sort of get himself back to his feet and like getting out the ring and stuff. And like, and then he gets to the top of the ramp and he's like, no, you dicks, I'm still the champion though, aren't I? Lifts it off the belt, turns around, Drew claymores him again. Just runs out from the back and claymores him again. He grabs the belt. The crowd are going bonkers for all of this. And Drew just looks at him, gives him another claymore. Doesn't 3-2-1 it. It's just like, no, proving a point. Claymore.
Yeah. The crowd were chanting one more time and like a baby face, he gave it to them.
It was wicked.
He did then point at the sign. I didn't see that bit. I said that in my review. He didn't even point at the sign. But Brock's selling. He sold it so realistically as the thing. It wasn't goofy pro wrestling selling.
Yeah.
It was legit fight. I've been knocked out. I'm trying not to sell. I'm trying not to sell the fact that that just rocked me completely. But in trying to cover that up, you're almost giving away even more. You're stumbling. Your eyes aren't focusing properly on things.
Yeah.
A tremendous performance by Brock.
But it was so, so good. And I thought a wicked opening segment to the show. It was very short as well.
It was about 15 minutes.
It did not feel like it was 15 minutes.
Yeah, it did fly by. And this is the first time, really, we've seen Brock and Drew really get into the meat of this program about a month after it was set up at the Rumble. So this is, yeah, we're in the end game now of the 5-week build towards Mania. I'm really into it.
Well, they had to, quote, focus on the Ricochet match at Super Showdown.
Compare those two, the two builds.
Right.
Where Lesnar just kicked Ricochet in the dick and left him laying to this. Then we got the tag match and title change. Very good. We've spoken about the Ricochet stuff.
Yeah.
That's what came next. After the good Lesnar opening, newsworthy title change.
I thought we were onto a winning show at this point.
And then the show just fell apart because Ricochet went in there with Riddick Moss for the 24/7 championship.
Because they announced earlier on the day, Riddick Moss is going to be defending the 24/7 title. So Ricochet makes an entrance match. I'm like, okay, cool. Here's the redemption of Ricochet after that 90-second loss to Lesnar. I come back from ad break. Riddick Moss is standing in the ring. And I was like, oh no, Ricochet's challenging for the 24/7 title. This can't be. And then this match had an ad break. And it wasn't because Ricochet was running wild. It's because Ricochet was getting his ass kicked the entire time. And then he just lost. And then I was like, well, like Rick felt way less over in this match than he did, you know, 2 weeks ago. And yeah, he just lost. And no reaction for Moss winning, which doesn't make Rick's loss mean anything.
No. And that, just having Ricochet in a match for the 24/7 title,
gross.
That's bad enough.
Yeah, disgusting.
But then to have him sort of only take 30% of the offense against a guy who is not established in any way. He only debuted about 6 weeks ago. He's only ever been a joke character, an enforcer to Mojo Jojo Rawley, and that was broken up really quickly. There is no substance or hook there. To have him so dominated by Moss, and then not even give Ricochet the fluke roll-up victory that they love to give him so much. To have him lose. It's just... And then that's off the back of a 90-second, no offense at all, loss to Brock Lesnar last Thursday. It's like they want to ruin this guy. Yeah. And there's no question about it. They have buried him. Like, irreparably.
And again, I know, and I feel like I'm Bruce Pritchard-ing this. If this is part of a story, then, you know, at the end of it, you could turn around and say, oh, well, those losses all were for a reason. But you cannot deny the fact that in doing this, Ricochet is less over at this point.
Yeah.
Like, he might not... Because you can't... We've been over the Daniel Bryan thing. But it is... Ricochet got no reaction coming out here. He got no reaction during his offense and his comeback. He got no reaction for losing. So, turns out that Brock Lesnar thing didn't work for him because he is not over now. And then, come next week, he's not going to be over again. So, it's not working. Even if this is part of a storyline... Currently, it is not working.
Yeah, the optics of challenging for the WWE Championship on Thursday and losing, and 4 days later, at a pay-per-view, and 4 days later, challenging for the lowest championship in the company, a joke championship, and losing that too. It doesn't just say this guy's rubbish and a definite undercarder. Set like one step above a jobber. We're talking about Ricochet here.
Yeah.
Former right. North American, inaugural North American champion?
No, Adam Cole was the inaugural.
Former North American champion. The guy who did that moonsault into the super kick from Adam Cole. The guy who thrilled the Indies. The guy that had that match with Will Ospreay that effectively broke the internet. He's every bit of as athletic as Will Ospreay is.
Yeah.
He could be so, so much more than this. So, but it's not just him. You're effectively saying your company is a joke. How was this guy fighting for your top title 4 days ago?
He beat Bobby Lashley a few weeks back. You know, he was beating the OC 2 weeks ago. If this is a storyline, it is definitely not the storyline I'd be doing with Ricochet.
No.
Far from it.
After this, we got the advertised match of AJ Styles versus Aleister Black. And I've seen a lot of people go to bat for this angle. All this is good underdog babyface booking because what happened? Black and AJ are going to have a match, which I was super into, really looking forward to that.
They've been advertising this for more than a week.
And AJ's like, oh, you must not have read the contract. You've got to get through Carl Anderson first. He beats Carl Anderson, but it is a back and forth match. It's not just a
Black Mass. I was fully expecting this to be Black Mass and pins him straight away.
Ah, but you can't face me yet. You've got to face Luke Gallows now. Luke Gallows dominates him, pretty much. And Luke Gallows gets DQ'd because he's beaten up Black too much.
He's winning too much.
All right, then. Okay, this isn't... So you're going to face AJ now. And AJ beats him in a couple of minutes with a phenomenal forearm because of the previous two matches. So I've seen a lot of people in the comments and on Reddit saying, why are you angry about that? That's great babyface booking. You've got to go through all the bosses to fight AJ. He was softened up by the end of it. Are you watching the same thing I'm watching? This was not a competitive experience.
And I think worse than that is that none of this was about Aleister Black.
Exactly.
This whole match and storyline is a backdrop to the Undertaker versus AJ Styles match because AJ's promo was not about Aleister Black. AJ's promo was about The Undertaker and Marky Mark making fun of him. In this, quote, viral video.
Oh, my God. Have you seen that? So AJ said, look, there's this, you know, people are saying don't face The Undertaker. Even Mark Wahlberg in a viral video has told me not to. Please play the clip, lads. Like, why would AJ's character ask? I've said my piece on that before. And it's just a shot of Mark Wahlberg on a junket in a standard press interview just saying, hey, man, stay away from The Undertaker. It's embarrassing for WWE to pass that off as something realistic.
Yeah.
It just smacked of, you're a joke. This company comes off like a joke.
I actually quite like the Marky Mark thing.
But they said it's viral. When I looked, it's had 30,000 views.
Yeah.
our predictions video at that point and had more views than this viral video.
Yeah.
I just hated it.
So that was my issue I had with this segment, is that, you know, you F fans on an advertised match, which you're just going to do in a few days' time at Elimination Chamber. But really, even that is just a backdrop to the Undertaker feud. The Undertaker is the crowd were chanting for the Undertaker during this match. They were not chanting for Aleister Black. So it didn't work. And that's why I didn't like this. Mm.
AJ pinned Black with the Undertaker.
Which shows that AJ's not even focused on that either.
Yeah.
I do think that Aleister Black is going to win on Sunday, though, because I think that AJ's going to get distracted by Undertaker's massive dong, and then Black will hit a Black Mass off the back of it, which doesn't really help Black either. Like, that means that Black only won because of Undertaker interference.
I'm not even that excited about Styles Black on Sunday.
You should have seen the Super Chats last week, man. I know you weren't here for them, but there were so many people being like, can't wait for Styles Black.
Yeah. I was one of them. I was really looking forward to this match. And yeah. So after that, we got... Oh my God, we got this happen. Ruby Riott cut a promo, which she did the best she could with awkward scripted material. Mm-hmm. And then she took on Liv Morgan with Sarah Logan as the special guest referee, because they're all in the Elimination Chamber match on Sunday.
Yep.
And I guess WWE want to try and create some interest in the people who aren't Shayna Baszler and Asuka.
Yeah, they're trying to like create, you know, the difference with Asuka and Natalya being like, that's a mini storyline that's in this chamber. Liv and Ruby, that's a storyline in this chamber. Now Sarah Logan's involved in that as well. But the problem is that like they were like, man, let's recap this feud. So they showed a clip from last month, which was when this started, and they've done nothing with it since. And then it was like, oh, and also something happened last week. And then, like, why don't the fans care about this? Gee, I wonder why.
Well, they didn't, Luke.
No, they did not.
Because the crowd was silent for this match.
Yep.
It was completely uninteresting. There was no hook. I can't even tell you if it was well worked because I didn't see anything. It was like I was watching wallpaper.
Ruby dominated the match effectively.
I don't care.
There was a moment when Liv Morgan kicked out, and in kicking out, Ruby accidentally hit Logan, and that kind of is what led to Logan screwing with her later in the match. And then at the end of it, Logan stood tall, right? Like,
yes.
It's sort of like her and Liv worked together, and then she also pushed down Liv because there's no friends inside the chamber.
Oh, there's your go home angle.
And then one of them said, Phillips said, God, the Riott Squad are in tatters. I was like, they're not a group anymore. Like, they haven't been a group for a year. And sorry, I called Pete down. Thanks, Pete. I need to bring my laptop charger. Like, the other part of this as well. Thank you, Pete. Liv's from New Jersey.
Yes.
They were in her area, more or less. And she got no reaction whatsoever. Mm. And they were treating this, like the commentary were trying to make this feel like it was Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins with Dean Ambrose as the referee.
Oh, yeah. When I think of all-time great factions, it's the Horsemen, it's the Shield, and it's the Riott Squad.
Yeah.
So, off to three pretty crappy segments. Some, you know, one of those, Ricochet's been just all-time awful. Like, one of the worst things I've seen all year. That happened to Ricochet.
Yep.
We got the reveal of what's in Rowan's cage backstage. a plot point that's been teased for about, I don't know, 2-3 months now. And it was just a backstage bit with No Way Jose congering through the corridors. Freaking hate that guy's act. The act, the character, not him. And he just asks, hey, Rowan, what is in the cage?
And Rowan says, you asked me so politely. I'm going to show you and your friends here what's in my cage. And so he opens up the cage. And I thought, are they going to, like, frame this in a way where you don't really see it? And so people might try and, like, freeze frame and be like, oh, that's what's in it.
Yeah.
Now, they showed this in full view. It is a animatronic spider that this company wants you to think is real. And it's not like they're not saying this is an animatronic spider. They are saying, no, this is an actual real spider, because it's Saxton, I think, says, oh my God, I think that thing's alive. And then Jerry Lawler later on is like, oh man, I can't stop thinking about that tarantula. So either everyone in the company is an idiot because they have been fooled by an animatronic, or this company wants you to believe that it's a real spider.
I had drastically low expectations for this reveal. And somehow, they didn't meet them.
Yeah.
But I laughed a lot because I thought it was so... Like, this was Rowan's fake... This was fake Rowan all over again. When you just watch it, you're like, okay, I guess that's what it is then.
Within the space of 6 months, he has been able to get really, really over off the back of that Brian storyline, but also have two of the dumbest angles in the last 10 years in WWE. Fake Rowan and this spider thing within 6 months to the same guy. It's impressive.
It is, actually. It is quite impressive.
I'm amazed, WWE, at your capacity to screw stuff up. Honestly.
Also in this, we found out that Goldberg winning the Universal title is WWE's most liked photo in Instagram history. So take that, Marks. Turns out the casuals like it.
I've just written off the back of the Rowan thing. This is a very bad
episode. It really was.
Then we got Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler. Annoyingly, another match that had to be changed. It was meant to be Baszler versus Asuka. That was the advertised match. Mouthwatering, right? They're going to face in the chamber this weekend. Yes, yes, yes.
Should have been built for a pay-per-view, but yes.
Asuka legitimately sprained her wrist.
What? Yes, but Alex McCarthy of TalkSport is saying that she isn't injured. It was just a storyline.
Okay, so there's Meltzer saying she is. Alex McCarthy's saying she isn't. Both good sources there. But whatever it was. I mean, if it was a storyline, that's terrible.
Yeah.
You shortchanged two... different things. Did you hear about SmackDown on Saturday, the live event there?
Oh, with The Fiend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They advertised up until the day of the show that The Fiend is going to be there, and then he wasn't. And apparently a lot of people complained about that.
Yeah. Well, you would do.
Yeah.
If you bought a ticket for that one thing, if I bought a ticket to go see Rage Against the Machine, and then Rage Against the Machine didn't play, but someone else did, I'd be like, well, no, I bought my tickets to see this thing.
Yeah. It's a headline draw.
Yeah.
And it's like, you might think, oh yeah, but WWE's a selling point. Nuh-uh. Ticket sales are down. They're at their lowest level in, I don't know, 20, 30 years for WWE house shows. And it's because they've slowly chipped away at these territories' audiences by promising them loads of stuff and none of it happening when they get there.
And in all of this, God, it sucks to be Kairi Sane, because you are legit one of the best wrestlers in this company. Not like, you know, one of the best women wrestlers, just one of the best wrestlers in this company. And you are a utility player for someone else.
Yeah.
Like, not, you know, Asuka's amazing, but Kairi Sane and Asuka shouldn't have been a tag team in the first place. They were put there together for, you know, completely the wrong reasons.
They're Japanese.
There you go. They should have been single stars, and Kairi Sane should have been one of those top single stars, along with Asuka. But Kairi Sane is now a utility player to help build Asuka, which sucks for Kairi Sane. And I mean, I've written here, I cannot believe that there hasn't been a recap of the history between Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler. I mean, I can, but that doesn't make it any better.
Shayna came out with an NXT name bar, so brands. And I thought Shayna looked pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, she is awesome. She's so, so awesome. But it was, this match was very weird. In that, Asuka and Kairi Sane cut a heel promo at the start, and then Kairi Sane worked babyface during the match.
I thought Sane worked heel.
Did you mean the one that was being worked over?
Yeah, I know.
And then making the big babyface comeback.
No, I saw it as, especially the way Kairi did like a little bum wiggle and stuff in Shayna's face, I saw it as Sane is working heel, but she is, not in my view, in WWE's, an insignificant, natty, pestering heel that Baszler, the badass tweener, swats down.
It could be, yeah, yeah.
That's what I read into it. Otherwise, the dynamic doesn't really work anyway. I thought Shayna was the heel. I like this Shayna, though, but this Becky Lynch thing happened. Becky Lynch has kind of jumped the shark.
So, me and Pete were talking about it before you got into the office today. What annoys me with this Becky, so Becky came out in this big Del Boy fur coat and these knobhead glasses and acted like a prick. And she sat down on commentary, spoke like a prick the entire time, stole King's crown, and acted like a goofball. I didn't like Becky Lynch. And the character I guess that they're meant to be saying is that she's become overconfident because she's now run through everyone. She is overconfident, and that overconfidence is going to bite her in the ass when she gets to Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania. Like, that is fine. That's a perfectly fine story if that's the one you're telling. But that's not the story they've been telling for the past couple of weeks, because she wasn't that character when Shayna Baszler was biting her in the neck. Like, surely that should have changed the character. You were overconfident, then this wild woman shows up and bites your neck, and then you're like, well, now I need to get serious. Which she did for 2 weeks, and now she's back to the comedy thing. So it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
There's no consistency here.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
I really liked the when Becky did Badass Becky and she drove the ambulance
back.
Yeah,
totally. And last week when she came out to beat up Baszler, awesome. Like, that's been really, really great stuff. And then, 7 days later, she's back to being a dickhead again. So why have you changed the character like that?
I don't know if people in the chat right now are saying, oh, but I love Becky, this. I've been on your side for a while, but I've kind of been like, ugh, she isn't really connecting with me.
Mm.
And not just like, last year, I would say, was WWE booking her wrong. I was like, I love you, Becky. It's annoying that you're being booked in these bad storylines. But now, the last month, it's kind of, I've been wrestling with this thing in my head of it being, no, I don't like your character.
Yeah, well,
and when I got in this morning, yeah, you were saying that, and Laurie also was like, why is she such a dick right now?
Yeah.
And it does. And I feel the same.
If she'd have done this, though, before Baszler had bitten her in the neck, you could argue that that completely makes sense, because she has had this overconfidence thing. It's completely gone to her head. She thinks she's the queen of the mountain, and this, you know, this badass from MMA is going to come up and show her up. Perfectly fine story, but they've told it out of order.
Mm.
And so now this week doesn't make sense with what happened last week or the week prior. But you're okay. Well, I think we're okay, because everyone in the comments is not really on side with this. Becky looks goofy. Becky Lynch has gone stale. Becky's trying to be Conor McGregor. Becky is Blair.
I can't stand Becky at this point.
Becky irks me. She's jumped the shark. She's like John Cena 2012. So she's acting like Seth Rollins.
That's very true. I'm getting the same kind of go away heat that I had for Seth last summer for Becky right now.
And it's not her fault. Absolutely, it's not her fault. It's an inconsistent story.
This seems like her character. This seems like what she wants to do.
I don't know. I don't.
You know, like when we blame Seth for his Twitter game, this style of obnoxious humor, I feel like it's coming from Becky, because that's what we've seen in the past.
But what I mean is, like, the inconsistent character-wise, mm. I don't think it's Becky's fault. Like, I don't think she showed up to work on Monday and was like, you know what I should do? I should wear a Del Boy coat and some dickhead glasses and go and act like a knob. Because that will really get over my feud with Shayna.
But it's totally in the same vein as those gangster meme glasses.
Which
and that is, that feels like totally Becky.
But she did that before Shayna biting her in the neck.
Right. We're agreeing that the inconsistency
is
not. I'm saying that's annoying. I'm also saying that her character's annoying separate to that.
Okay, and I am saying, I agree with you, that I think she wanted to do that up until a point.
Mm.
Then Shayna bites her in the neck and we go back to badass Becky. Like that, well, I feel like that is a character trajectory that completely works. And I think that completely feels like a Becky thing. Like, that feels very much in Becky's wheelhouse. So it just doesn't make sense for her then, like, 2 weeks later, to be like, oh, I think I'm going to go back to the knobhead thing, if that's all right with you.
Well, anyway, Shayna blocked a Kairi Sane elbow drop with her boot, which was really cool. Just like, she was lying on the floor and F you. And then she choked out Sane immediately with a Kirifuda clutch.
Baszler is awesome. I really hope she wins at Mania.
Yeah. She's definitely winning the chamber. After that, we got Rey Mysterio. After that, so that was all, you know, that was a bad, rough stretch of Raw, the worst it's been in quite some time, I'd say.
Certainly all year.
But then, the last two segments were awesome. Rey Mysterio and Humberto Carrillo versus Zelina Vega's sexy, sexy boys.
Oh, they are some sexy boys.
Andrade and Angel Garza.
Yeah, this was a really, really, like, yeah, of course this was. This is an amazing tag match. I seriously hope that all four of these are fighting for the US title at Mania.
Yeah.
A fatal four-way between...
A ladder match.
A ladder match would be rad. A radder match, if you will. But I do think that this should be a fatal four-way at WrestleMania. I just really like watching all four of these people work together. In the end, Carrillo hit the moonsault and he pinned Andrade after a double 619. So that sets up a US title match, which I do think Carrillo might win. I wonder if they're going to take
as
the title.
Punishment.
Yeah, take the title off Andrade as punishment for getting suspended.
I would usually agree with you, but it's Carrillo. Why didn't he win at Super Showdown then? Oh, no, he did?
No, he didn't. No, Angel win. No, because this was all part of the story. It's all because he's been losing to AJ Styles, you know, since, what, October last year. to build to this point now where he finally...
Oh, yeah.
And so all of those losses are fine because he gets this win over here.
Long-term booking. It's amazing.
They've been building to the Fiend versus John Cena for 7 years.
So Garza and Carrillo had blue tights on.
Yeah, so nearly matching gear.
I feel like they want to be a team. I want them to be a team.
Well, this is it, because if you take the belt off Andrade and then at WrestleMania you do the Fatal 4-Way, you can move Andrade and Carrillo away from that US title scene and move them into the tag picture.
Ooh, yes,
and they'd be an amazing tag team.
But the main event of the show was really quite stunning. I thought Randy Orton, who's been doing the best work of his career anyway, leveled up again here.
This, you know, there was that report, it was Jerry, wasn't it, who said, you know, people are being, they're more free to just go out there and cut promos. It's not scripted for them anymore. I thought last week's Randy Orton promo was a great example of that. I think this one is an even better example of this. This didn't feel like this was scripted. This was just Randy went out there. It's like, I'm going to tell this story.
Well, the report is that Heyman has a lot of stuff to do with this storyline. A lot of it's coming from Randy and Edge.
Totally makes sense, because this felt like a character telling a story from their past. Mm. That completely makes sense. And completely justifies, like, what a wicked twist in this tale as to why he wanted to injure Edge. I wouldn't have predicted this. No. This is the reason he did it. And it's such a genius reason that completely works for Randy's character that he thinks was the right action to do, but you as the babyface fan knows it's the wrong thing for him to do. It was brilliant.
Yeah, so Beth Phoenix comes out. This is what it was billed as. Beth Phoenix is going to give a medical update on Edge. I think everyone knows, though, that Randy's also going to come out there. That's what happened. And he goes to hug her, but she's like, get away from me.
What?
So he goes to shake her hand.
Yeah.
And she's like, you think I'm going to shake your hand?
Yeah.
And he just, like, he looks really sad. And, like, his acting was phenomenal. And then he explains why he did it. He tells a story about how he looked up to Edge. Edge effectively saved his life, he said, when he made questionable life choices in the noughties. So now he wanted to return the favor because he loves Edge. He loves Beth. He loves their two daughters. And when he saw Edge at the Royal Rumble, great. But the next night, when he realized that Edge wanted to return full time, he thought, someone's going to retire. Someone's going to seriously injure you. So to stop that from happening, I'm going to take you out of action.
Yeah.
And it just an incredible, like you said, I never thought that would be the explanation. I just thought we'd get some default WWE, you people.
I was almost waiting for him to say, like, because he goes, like, and you know why I did it, Beth. And I was waiting for, oh my God, here comes the you people. And he's like, because it's your fault.
Yeah.
Pointing at Beth is like, you put ideas in his head that he can return to wrestling. You don't love him the way that I love him.
Ah, so good.
Because of what I did, that means that I love your children more than you do, because I've made sure they've still got their father. It was amazing stuff.
And it's so weird because you do, I mean, I find myself kind of not agreeing with Randy, but certainly understanding him.
It's the Hangman Page stuff. Hangman Page doesn't feel like he's the bad guy in any of the situation because you completely understand his plight.
Mm.
And you understand Randy's character motivations here. He's the bad guy. There's no question about that. But it's like Thanos. Like when Thanos is doing, Thanos thinks that he's doing the right thing. And one of my favorite things in Endgame is when Steve and Natty are just talking and he's like, oh yeah, there were whales out by the Hudson Bridge. Well, there's more, you know, there's more fish now. Like there's more, the sea's clearer, so people can move around. You're like, so technically in a way, Thanos was right. And it's just that one little throwaway line. And there is that moment where you're like, Randy's, maybe he was right. Because someone could have injured Edge.
It was so effective that I started to think, man, maybe I'm bad for wanting Edge to come
right.
back. It was really, really masterfully done. And if you look at it from a character perspective, which is really, really fun to dive into, when Orton was younger and starting out, if he saw a legend coming back, he would have that was his whole gimmick. He was the legend killer. He would have seriously injured that person. So he is doing this thing where he's so deluded and in his own head, he thinks everyone else is as sick and demented as he is.
Yeah.
Like, he just thinks, well, I've got to take Edge out, otherwise some young legend killer's going to do it And I can't let that happen.
He did this out of respect, was the other side of it as well. Oh. The story he tells is that in 99, WWE did a house show in St. Louis, where he's from. And Cowboy Bob Orton took him to that show and took him backstage to meet everyone. Although weirdly in that, he said, I saw all the greats backstage, like from that era, like Austin, Triple H, Shawn Michaels. I'm like, man, Shawn Michaels was not there at that time. he was doing something. But
he was just wandering around.
Yeah, no mention of like of The Rock, but you know, the other big names like Triple H. And he said that he saw Edge, he met Edge. Mm-hmm. And Edge shook Cowboy Bob Orton's hand and treated him with the respect that he deserved. And then my dad looked at me and he said, this is my boy, he's hoping to get into this business as well. And Edge shook me like by the hand like a man and said, I hope one day we can share the ring together if you work hard enough. And so Randy has taken all of that, taken that meeting, taken the love and the friendship that they had, and Edge saving him, and has been like, it's time for me to return the favor. It's time for me to save you now.
It was absolutely masterful. Just like the idea, the content, the delivery, the performance. And Beth looks at him when he says, maybe I love your daughters more than you do. And she slaps him. But Randy doesn't do anything. I think in his head, he's like, okay, I mean, you're wrong, but I'm the better man, so I'm not going to do it. Okay, you're going to kick me. Right, okay, it was on the kick that made him strike. Yeah.
She struck first.
Yeah. So, yeah, he hits an RKO. And unfortunately, the crowd were a bit markish.
The crowd treated Orton like he was the babyface in all this.
So they were chanting RKO, RKO, before the RKO happened, like, this will be funny. Let's watch Randy, I said in the review, do his now annual tradition of hitting a woman after last year with Nia Jax. So they're chanting for an RKO, which, did take away from the drama and tension of the moment. This wasn't a fun chant along bit. But then he does hit the RKO, and the crowd shut up. And like, oh, no. Oh, they did that. But the crowd were annoying. And then there were two other bits that did stop this from being an utterly perfect angle. And this is nitpicking, but that's the point of this show. And it's to cut to the announcers, and they're like, oh, and they weren't selling it well.
They do the Owen Hart voice, but...
Like, what? Why doesn't anyone get outraged anymore? Why isn't anyone going, oh, you sick person?
Like JR.
Who's screaming that? It's like, oh, well, Beth's really injured there. Let's take four more replays of it happening.
Yeah, and then the undercard without Ricochet run out to help her.
Yeah, so that Natalya was there, of course, very good friends. Kurt Hawkins, I assume there's the Edgeheads connection.
Ryder was there as well.
R-Truth, yeah. But, I wasn't seeing that. I was just thinking, where's the doctors? And it's difficult because we all criticise WWE for not having those guys run out for when Edge was attacked in the first place, or for Matt Hardy. But they do it now, and it's like, oh, you still haven't done it right. So, I don't know. But overall, absolutely fantastic from Randy and Beth, particularly
it.
Randy, and just the whole idea and driving force behind this motivation has excelled my wildest dreams.
Yeah.
So it's very good.
I'm really excited for WrestleMania this year, because there are, like, Becky Shane, a feud aside, or build aside, I am looking forward to that match. Really excited for Drew Brock. I'm really, really excited for Randy Orton Edge. Like, I cannot wait for that match.
Yeah.
I wish I was more excited for John Cena the Fiend, but the build for it, I say the build, the announcement for it, I thought was just the worst kind of awfulness.
Oh, thank you.
And I would have liked to have been excited for Roman Goldberg, had Roman not come out and be like, me next.
Yeah.
And be like, okay. That's how you get title shots these days. I mean, in fairness, that's how Goldberg got his title shot, was coming out and saying, like, get me. I'm next in line, thanks.
Well, what the good old days when Vince McMahon just to walk out and say, now it's this person. Right, so overall, I actually gave the show a 2 out of 5.
I'd agree.
Although it was bookended by some fantastic segments, particularly the closing angle. The middle of the show was god awful.
It was 2019 levels of bad.
Yeah.
Like the Rowan reveal was so hilariously awful. Poor old Ricochet and Aleister Black, you can argue that it's babyface booking 101, but he was not the focal points of that. The Undertaker and AJ were the focal points of that. there was not, and there's poor old Liv Morgan. Her push has just faded into obscurity since January 1st. Like, they have completely given up on her. And they've, you know, well, they brought Ruby Riott back and just kept her off TV for 5 weeks, and then, like, oh, by the way, care about her again. Mm. Yeah, it's not great.
Now let's bash through these super chats, because there's a ton of them.
Yep, and still no one wants to talk about the tag champs. So you go on, you take Ricochet.
Anthony C, I was in the crowd on Raw, and I'm sad to say I saw the death of Ricochet's career. Mm. Hey, AEW. Apparently he's got a long contract though, so and no time soon. Harry Pig Orr, scary thought. What if they just aren't thinking about either burying or redeeming Ricochet? They are simply using him to get Riddick Moss over.
Hey, maybe. Maybe he's the new pet project. It's Riddick Moss.
Luke Sermon. After what happened to Ricochet and many others, they wonder why superstars don't want to sign new contracts. Yet they still do.
Because the WWE is the big game. Everyone wants to get to the big game. So to them, you know, Vince said it in the conference call with the investors. Why wouldn't someone want to sign here? Like, it makes no sense to him as a person why no one would want, like, you know, if you're a wrestler, of course you want to come here.
The real YT. Unfortunately, Ricochet give bad promos. Yeah, he's not good at that style of promo. I've seen him cut really good promos on the indies.
They poorly scripted him.
Zach Icon Linda. Ricochet? More like Trebuchet. Trebuchet is like a...
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one either.
But cool.
Cool, thanks anyway, Zach. On the subject of Drew and Lesnar, Jesse Venables said, Drew got 3 claymores on Lesnar. Hot damn. Also loved what they did with Brock and having Styles play the perfect heel by using Taker's pin. Good S word.
Loved what they did with Black.
Oh, love what they did with Black.
Yeah, I disagree with you there. I love the Drew-Lesnar stuff, though.
Ken Emil, Probabil, when I saw Lesnar's stunned face after the 3rd claymore and heard Tom Phillips calling the segment, I thought it would be the end of Raw. Thoughts?
I guess so. But Brock does feel like he does a lot of opening angles now. A Paul Heyman promo to open Raw is a bit copy and paste.
Mm, yeah. No, I can't see, but also I really like the drama of ending with that Beth segment.
Oh, yeah. Right, cool, yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, is this the best Brock Lesnar championship run since his return in 2012? I don't think any run has been more enjoyable than this one. Shame it had to begin with squashing Kofi in 8 seconds, though.
I'd have to probably sit down and think about it, just because I can't really point to any great matches he's had.
Mm. Oh, the Ricochet match. Ron's Regen, Drew's claymore is great and all, but it is as nice as Goldberg's deadly snap suplex. I think not.
Oh, the cuddle bomb.
The jackhammer.
Oh dear, lowercase j.
Phil 108, ruthless aggression episode for Brock showed him insanely dazed after the Shooting Star Press botch. Yeah. He sold the claymores almost exactly the same as that footage. Intentional?
No, I just think Brock knows how to act concussed, and in the Shooting Star one, he was concussed.
Yeah. Metal Bear, the crowd exploded when Drew lifted that belt. So keen for that match. I would have said Av Raj because of the first 2 segments. End to the episode was Big Hairy Balls. Keep up the great stuff, lads.
My Big Hairy Balls.
You want to take the next segment?
On the RKO segment. Why do fans not really go along with the kayfabe and calling for RKOs on the good guys and we want tables? One more time, it shows lack of involvement.
Yeah, I'd say that. I mean, I would say that it shows a lack of interest, but I would have thought people are really into this storyline and I want to be part of that drama.
Yeah, it's because you can't just say, here's a segment you now care about. Here's 90 minutes of absolute tosh. You don't get this stuff in NXT. You don't get this stuff in AEW because they've cultivated a respect from their audience where they do treat these live performers who are right there in front of you with equal respect. Miguel 8A, can't stay to watch. Thanks, school, but I'll watch later today.
School's very important.
I feel like I'm alone on this, but I can't get into the Randy storyline knowing the payoff will be an Orton-type match at the end.
Maybe I'm interested in the story more than I am the eventual match.
That's my concern. Yeah. Edge coming back after almost a decade out and Randy Orton.
Because what if the match is Orton just working over him for 90% of the match and then he makes a big comeback? Like, you know, the Daniel Bryan comeback match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah. Pedro Sereno, Autumn really believes in gender equality.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just hit everyone. Ronce Rajan, Randy Orton loves Edge's kids the same way Samoa Joe loves Wendy.
Yeah.
Oh, Wendy. Metal Bear, Randy Angle didn't sit with me for some reason. After Hardy, I was expecting Edge to come out. Randy has been next level, though.
Yeah.
Well, I think Edge is coming next Monday.
Next Monday his return, yeah. And the subject of Ronin is Big Hairy Spider. Nate drops surname. I've seen B horror movie props look better than that.
Yeah, it was no good.
But they're also shot in a certain way to hide the fact that they look cheap, whereas this was just a camera was focused on it to make it, just so you knew it was fake. Gazzazilla of Rock and Roller. Well, we all knew the run of Raw being really good wouldn't last, but this was a further fall than I expected. An effing toy spider. Hashtag, this company. Marcus Roman. 3 months we've been waiting for What's in Rowan's Cage and we got a fake spider. I'm slightly disappointed. How am I still watching WWE's bad booking? I don't know.
Habit, mainly, yeah. I think, yeah.
And Kyle Hardy, is the reason they didn't use a real spider for Owens because the WWF are still watching WWE for looking for reasons to sue, i.e. animal cruelty. But yeah, you would just have, like, Peter involved and just have them there on set. Like, movies use real animals, and they just have Peter on set to be like, yeah, you treated them right.
It was a backstage segment. You can, you know, control that a lot better than a live performance.
Yeah.
But it just wouldn't have been good. It still wouldn't have been good.
Oh, no. It's still rubbish.
On WWE Misc. Miscellaneous. Metal Bear. Good Raw again. Some great segments with Raw and the tag titles. On the other hand, poor Ricochet. Oof. Title match to be buried by the 24/7 champion 4 days later.
Yeah.
Sparks. Becky will win at Mania, and following day she will issue an open challenge for the belt, and out comes Ronda Rousey. WWE is too predictable. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that's a lock.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't say that's a lock.
Colostopia. Titles don't mean anything in WWE. Umberto pretty much loses every match except yesterday and gets a title shot on Sunday. Title rematch a thing again. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I just accept it now when they say, oh, and this person's facing for the title.
I honestly believe they hope you've forgotten about that antiquated rematch clause because they've actually done quite a lot of these automatic rematches. They just haven't called it that anymore. Yeah. So I just think they want to hope that you forgot about that promo and also forgot about the we're sorry promo that they did. We're like, we made a bad product. Please like us.
We did that, and we like to think that we're still making up for it.
Yeah. We made a bad product, but it was Baron Corbin's fault. Yeah.
Sean Dunn.
Hey, Sean.
Joe.
Bro.
Jonas L.
He's a fan of Under Consultation, Sean Dunn, so he's got great taste.
Mark. Jonas L. I love seeing AA teaming up together, but I have a feeling that Andrade finds Angel Garza a little annoying.
Well, you can tell that story, but you don't do that story now. You do that story in like a year, 18 months' time.
Nate drops surname. Said it Friday and step one of my Alistair fears. Yeah. Playing second fiddle. Start recording. After WrestleMania, what do you see being the first Intercontinental title feud? I think it's either Sheamus versus Mustafa Ali or Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan.
We actually cut this out of the predictions video, but I found out that apparently one of the reported plans for WrestleMania is Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan, and I was flabbergasted that that's apparently the plan. They love that match idea for WrestleMania.
My computer's just died.
That's okay, man. I got you covered. This is why I got Pete to grab my laptop charger.
It's because we were streaming Transformers the Animated Movie in the office earlier off my laptop. And we all watched it. And yeah, I used all the battery up on it.
Yeah, and it's great. It's the best movie ever made. OGP, Dadon, basking in my glory. I'm trying to figure out if everyone who joins Seth Faction are the same people he called out during the rah-rah speech after Survivor Series.
Well, there's only been three people so far. I don't think he spoke to Buddy in that rah-rah speech.
Can't remember. Matt Dennis, Ollie, you said you're always on the edge of your seat waiting for that crap episode. Well, here it is. Is the damage of this episode outdoes the good segments? Poor Ricochet.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, I guess overall it was a bad episode, but honestly, that Randy segment was so good it almost saved the entire show.
Mike Depew, if it's Brock versus Mansoor at Super Showdown, best outcome?
Mansoor's got to be winning. I think they paid all the money.
I think that's what they're building. Wow. They're going to build Brock Lesnar as this unstoppable, like he squashed Braun, squashed Ricochet. Mansoor's had competitive matches against mid-carders. They'll eventually collide, and Mansoor will slay the beast in Saudi Arabia.
And drop it back at the next TV episode.
Oh, no, but I think they'll have had the title off Brock by that point, because Brock won't be champion, you know, after WrestleMania, fingers crossed. So they can do that at Saudi down in, or Crown Jewel, rather, in November. There you go. Gabriel Reyes. From what I understand, Drew came out after the show ended and called out Randy Orton. I'm so excited for Drew to become champion and his potential feuds.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can do that. They were building that a couple of months ago. The Claymore from out of nowhere versus the RKO from out of nowhere.
Michael Dominguez. Why is AJ versus Aleister Black a non-DQ match? Just make it a rematch. I'm going to guess so they can't have outside interference from... Well, they can have outside interference from Gallows and Anderson.
And The Undertaker.
And The Undertaker. Pavi let Andy out of his cage. NXT and AEW audience respect the storylines, while WWE's audience just care about the spots. That's why the audience calls RKO on anyone. Thoughts?
Yeah, that's essentially what we said earlier, yeah. I agree.
Pavi let Andy out of his cage. Rowan Cage should have had WWE Superstars contracts inside. to leave, you've got to beat Rowan. Then No Way Jose scared face would have made sense. Mm. There was a lot of people that have been pushing the... We had this Super Chat last week as well, who were convinced it was going to be Rambling Rabbit inside the cage.
That wouldn't make any sense.
Wrestling Misc. On the topic of commentary, this is from Rio Aldonte. On the topic of commentary teams, out of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and AEW, which commentary team do you feel is better? For me, it's AEW.
I mean, the remarkable thing about AEW, I agree I would choose them, is they've not just got my favourite commentary lineup, they've got like my top three favourite commentary lineups. Because they've got so many good announcers there and the different combinations of them.
Yeah, it's tough. I think I'm going to go with NXT though, because NXT, if it's Mauro and Nigel. Like, Beth is good colour, and she does add something, but the real stars of that show are Mauro and Nigel.
New Japan, Kevin Kelly, Rocky Romero as well. Chris Charlton, fantastic.
Chris Charlton. Chris Blast. Hey guys, I haven't watched wrestling since the Royal Rumble. Not that long, I suppose.
Yeah.
I was wondering which show I should start watching, AEW or WWE. Was AEW Revolution good?
I mean, I don't want to get accused of bias, but I would say AEW. You've only got 2 hours a week to keep up with, and it's the best show of the week, in my opinion. And Revolution was incredible.
Start recording. In the AEW reactions, I said I'd like to see an INT match because it's never happened before. It should be the Young Bucks versus Pentagon and Phoenix.
What a good idea. Hmm. I've never seen an INT match.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I really like it.
They must have had Iron Man tag matches before.
I can't think of
it. I mean, I can't think of one of them, but it must have happened before. Start recording also says, who do you think Brodie Lee's first feud should be with? If he's a heel, I think Darby Allin.
Darby will be good. I think Jon Moxley. You build off of that Shield Wyatt family context.
The AdLab 2. Do you realise there was a 2-day period where the WWE, AEW and ROH champions were Goldberg, Chris Jericho and PCO? Face it, 50 is the new 30.
That's amazing. Yeah, because PCO dropped the title at the weekend. Roosh.
And Jericho dropped the title as well. Pammy, let Andy out of his cage. Who is going to face Mox next? Because a lot of AEW questions in this Raw review. Jericho was the main heel. Will they keep giving him matches till Jericho comes back? Will he keep facing the Inner Circle?
I don't think Jericho should go for it again. I think you can split him off into the Blood and Guts 5-on-5 match. Busy him there. But yeah, I don't mind Darby as the next challenger as a short-term program.
Start recording. Do you think Ricochet needs to be drafted to SmackDown for a fresh start on a different brand?
I mean, Vince seems to... I'd imagine it's Vince who's doing this, and going to SmackDown's not going to save him.
Going to NXT would save
him. Yeah.
Wrestle Talk, Miscellaneous. Seth Amphetamines, for the love that all that is holy, give me no rolls barred in podcast form. As a patron, I feel like I hold some weight around here, guys.
That's our first Patreon goal.
Which we're very, very close to. Very, very close to getting it released as a podcast. And it will be released as a podcast once we get there.
Glad you're enjoying it, though. We're really happy with it.
Because we got so close to that goal much quicker than we anticipated, and I hadn't done all the infrastructure for the podcast. But it's now all set up, so once we reach it, we can launch it as soon as it goes. Flame Inc. Luke, destroy Nikki Bella. She's brainwashing Ollie. Oh, no idea. Tim Arndt, have I added too many songs to the playlist?
Yes.
Because currently I have 38 in there and have about 30 more I want to put in, but I don't want to feel like I'm taking over the playlist.
I think there should be a limit for the podcast.
I don't think we can set that limit, though. Oh, no, other people are adding stuff now. Well, Sarah
cool.
J's added some. Richard has added stuff. Tyler's, JJ and Luke, Ice Striker, Pigman, and then there's a lot of Tim Arns.
This will be fun. Maybe we'll go in there manually and remove.
You can't. It's only the people who've added it in can remove them.
But it's maybe take out. Just have your top five, right? Just try and keep it at that. I think that's the best way for us all to have fun.
Rory the Wright, not much doom slash goth metal in the Spotify playlist, guys. Hey, that's up to you.
I think that's a joke. I think that's all Tim Arndt has added.
Bergon McClemens, Battle of Britress is a BBW. Is this a Freudian blowjob? Somebody at WrestleTalk looking to see big, beautiful women at this event.
That's the only reason I signed off on it. Did I misunderstand?
Donald Drew, long-time podswafter, first time being able to watch the boys live. Thank you for the consistent content, fellas.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, Donald. Saxon H, podswafters are the best. Or swafters, rather. Saxon, I've made the uploaded Silver Bro plus Golden Joe Create a Wrestler on 2K20 for the Xbox One. Enjoy. Cool. Support CBW. Now, if only anyone was playing 2K20, we might be able to have a look at that.
By the way, everyone... If you don't know what we're talking about here, we launched a wrestling RPG series on Sunday called No Rolls Barred. Me and Luke are players on it. Laurie, Lolo Brown, and Adam Blompier. We're all there. And yeah, the first episode's gone up and everyone loves it, I think is the takeaway. Now, the second episode, which goes up on Sunday, which if you become a patron, you can get 48 hours early, is crazy.
Yeah, it's mad.
Because I thought the first episode was the worst one. The least best.
It was finding the feet.
Mm. The second episode is freaking bonkers. Like, we go into the desert and take
drugs. Whoa, let's not do any spoilers. But it's great.
So hopefully everyone still likes it when it goes crazy.
Samad Ali, hey, I love No Rolls Barred. It was hilarious. Golden Joe and Silver Bro are awesome. Definitely going to support the channel on Patreon.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much. Matt Field, haven't watched Raw yet, but first I spoiled the Mox title change and now this in your thumbnail. Not my fault at all. My fault. God damn it, Matt.
Yeah, I've said it to a few people and I made a statement about it a few weeks. We are a wrestling news channel. We will lead in the title and the thumbnail with what happens on the show. So if you don't want to know, stay off YouTube. Disable notifications for that period.
Hey, I didn't. I watched AEW Revolution on Monday morning. Didn't have a single thing spoiled for me.
Here's the. It's a new concept in today's world. It's your fault. I'm not taking the blame anymore if you can't stay off the internet.
Zachary Jenkins, lovely time with the boys. Love you guys.
Thank you.
And make it train. Why do I want to quit my job and work for WrestleTalk? Pay to have fun? Well, mate, I hope you have some bloody good Cheerios for breakfast.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. I know, yeah.
Watch Transformers earlier.
It really is. Misk, Austin Baker, yesterday was my birthday.
Hey,
thanks for everything.
Happy birthday, Austin.
Austin was having trouble sending us that message during the AEW stream yesterday.
Cool.
And last minute messages that have come in. Kevin, by the way, I need to get this off my chest. Finn Balor versus Walter. Yes, please.
Yes! What a match. So Balor's a face now, I guess.
What was this announced for?
This was, sort of the next feud in NXT.
Is it really?
Set up in last week's, yeah.
Oh, I missed that. Actually, I haven't watched the show yet, so yeah. Pavula Annie Evans Cage, is AEW becoming repetitive? I keep saying the same people over and over again. Where is Sunny Kiss, the librarians? I forget the other wrestlers.
I don't think it's repetitive at all.
They're on Dark as well. Fritz, fans chanted, who are you at Riddick Moss?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So come on, tell us all about it.
So on my journey to work, I've repaired my bike. It's got a brand new tire. We shouldn't get punctures anymore. I don't know why I said we. I feel like we're all in this together.
We're all in this together, like High School Musical.
No more punctures. And it's been rainy the last month and a half.
We've had three storms in as many weeks.
Can you name them all?
Gertrude.
Oh, was that?
Belinda.
No, these are last year's storms.
No, Belinda's one I've made up.
I'm pretty sure
I think there has been a Gertrude.
There was Kira.
Yeah.
Dennis.
Storm Dennis.
And Jorge over the weekend.
That's right, well done.
Anyway.
Coronavirus.
And the huge storm that is coronavirus.
Which was all made up, as we know from Talk Is Jericho.
I don't know why the news is still covering it.
Surely the sheeple should have woken up by now and realised it's just as fake as AIDS.
So the... Are you sure about that? I'm not just sure. I'm not going to finish that joke. It's a South Park joke. But the people who know it can have a little titter to themselves.
Very good.
It's been rainy. It wasn't raining today. It was a nice sunny morning. Bloody cold, though. And I cycled into work.
I haven't been able to do this.
You nearly wear shorts.
I nearly wore shorts this morning.
You joked to me yesterday evening. And I was like, God, it is cold. Nearly shorts weather, eh? And you went, yeah. Yeah. I thought you were joking.
I looked out this morning. I was like, look at that sunshine. I could put my sunglasses on. I might put some shorts on.
So you were going by what it looked like, not by real feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, the way
That's
you do
the
it.
Mistake that Goldberg made last year. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I interrupted your story.
So I'm cycling to work. I love cycling to work. I've got a really nice route and I like the sensation. I like the fresh air on my face and the podcast on the bone just in front of my ears.
I am jealous of it. Mm. I'm jealous of your little trip into work.
Yeah, it's one of my big life pleasures. And I get to an underpass about two-thirds of the way in to my journey, all along the canal, and the underpass was flooded. Mm. This is fine. It's flooded often at this year so far. And I know there is a little island in the middle where I can pause, regain my footing, and push through to the other side. Mm-hmm. I go in. Immediately, it's a lot deeper than I remember. Yeah. So imagine where my feet are on the pedals. Mm-hmm. I cannot have the pedals, they have to be horizontal so my feet don't get in. So yeah. I cannot pedal. If I move one foot further than the other, my foot is in the water.
That's deep.
That's deep. That's 8 inches.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't go back. I couldn't turn and get the momentum to go back up the hill.
Nope.
So I had to pedal.
Yeah.
So I pedaled. One foot goes into the water. I tried to do a thing where I pushed it so it would propel me in and I could take my foot off and then catch it on the other side.
I see what you're going for. Yeah, it's quite genius, really.
It was deeper than that.
What?
It went up over both pedals. And that, and at this point, I sort of come to a stop. And I'm a third of the way into this.
Yeah.
And I wobble. I wobble. It's happening. I've just got to commit. Kaplunk. Oh. One foot. Like here.
Yeah.
So not halfway up my shin, but, 8 inches. Way past the ankle. And then I'm just standing. It's so cold.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh! I'm just... I didn't make any noise, but I was so annoyed, so annoyed by this underpass happening. And that wasn't the end of it. I still had two thirds of it to go, and I just had to get it right. It's happening. Put the other foot up, and I just cycled through. I cycled through water with my ankles underneath in water, and I got out the other side. And I tried to cycle for a bit and then I had to stop because I could hear the water sloshing in my shoes.
Ugh.
And I emptied the shoes onto the pavement. And I've had wet, very wet socks all day and I'm cold. And it's a cold to the bone. And on top of that, my lady partner is doing a gut fast. I said, I'll do that with you, a show of solidarity.
Because we were talking about this with our merchandise guy when we had a meeting earlier. What a, boyfriend of the year material.
Yes. But I'm about 18 hours into not eating now. I'm not having a good time. Just both of these things happened at the same time.
It's 4 days. Oh. But, we were talking about before we came on mic, first day's always going to be the hardest.
Yes.
Did you say the second day's hard as well?
Yeah, so the first day's actually meant to be not that bad.
That's not a good sign.
The second day is bad. And then third and fourth...
You get over it by that point.
You get into a groove. So my next meal, proper meal, because I'm allowed a handful of salad every evening.
No dressing.
No dressing. Raw vegetables. My next meal will be Friday evening.
What have you got planned for Friday evening?
Well, you're not meant to have a pizza. You're meant to have it's then 10 days of very healthy eating.
Oh, so you're reintroducing things.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So this is, it sounds like 4 days. The whole thing's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
How have you been?
I've been all right, mate. I had a very nice weekend for my brother's 40th birthday.
Mm.
Went for a surprise meal.
effectively ruined his weekend. Because we got to the restaurant, it was me, my wife, my mum, and my dad. Very posh restaurant. We're sitting there and we're sort of waiting. And I got a text message from my brother's girlfriend saying, I've just surprised him at Matt's, which is his friend. And so we're coming in now. I don't think he's best pleased.
Was said in the text.
Yeah, it's like, he's asked for us not to sing Happy Birthday, and I think he means it.
No.
Because in Ben's mind, he had travelled from Wales back to our hometown of Reading to see his best friend that he's known since he was like 6 years old. You know, he turns 40 this year, and they're going to play board games, and it's just the two of them, and they're just going to play board games for the whole evening. And Ben had taken board games specifically to play. And then his girlfriend showed up and was like, surprise, we're actually going out for a meal. On the way in.
Did Matt come?
Yep. Matt and his wife came as well.
That's not so,
so
bad.
It's okay. And like on the way there, he kind of figured that my parents were also going to be there. He didn't know that me and my wife were going to be there, but he kind of figured that my mum and dad would be. And once he was there, and once we actually sat down for the meal and the wine was flowing, then he had a lovely time. But I do think there was a little part of him that was like, I kind of had something planned. Mm. And you sort of dicked on those plans.
Maybe it's, when he saw that it was just his girlfriend who came in, that's a different, like, it's like, oh my God, I wanted one day away from you and you're here. But then when it's everyone's there, that's nice.
Yeah.
What did you eat? What was the meal?
So I had goat's cheese croquettes. Sorry, I'm not going to. I shouldn't talk about food. I'm so sorry.
It's okay, man.
They were very delicious.
I just want to think about it.
And then we went out for some drinks. But I got to give him my secret present I've been working on for the last few weeks, which is a personalised Ticket to Ride board. Ticket to Ride is a fantastic tabletop game, if you've never played it, where you build train tracks between cities. So I had this world map version where I put places that Ben has been to, you know, on his various world travels, including like Reading, our hometown, Skelmersdale, where all our family lives, Mahuntleth, where he currently lives.
Skelmersdale?
Yeah, it's in, I guess, near Wigan.
Skelmersdale?
Skelmersdale, yeah.
Oh, sounds Scandinavian.
Yeah, well, speaking of Scandinavia, Uppsala was over there, and Oslo, because he's also lived in those two places. Dubai, because he lived there for a little bit.
Wow, well-travelled man.
Very well-travelled man, all over North and South America, and, well, Canada's in North America, I suppose, and Australia. The only places that I couldn't really do were Africa, because he's not been, and Russia. Because although he has been to Russia, he's only been to Moscow, which is so close to all the other European cities that I couldn't make good tracks. Like, there would have just been this big empty space. So, genius. I say my genius. It was actually my wife's idea. I put Castle Grayskull as we're in the far corners of the Russian tundra.
Yeah.
For him to build tracks to. Because it is a fully playable version of the game.
Whoa.
I worked it out to that level of intricacies. And it was, he was really, really pleased with it. I gave it to him on the Sunday morning when we went out for breakfast. Weatherspoon's breakfast. Didn't have the large, just had the medium, but it was very nice nonetheless.
That is becoming quite a trend in your family. Sort of personalised board game paraphernalia.
Well, we are, so because it's my brother's 40th. So it's a big one. So I didn't want to just get him something, you know, like a board game or something like that. I wanted to get him something that
Lost
was...
Lost Series 1 on DVD.
Exactly, yeah. You know, I wanted to get him something that was a gift from me to him that he can look out forever and be like, oh, that was what he got for my 40th birthday. Like, you know, this watch, my parents got me for my 18th. So every time I look at it, it's like, oh, you know, I've had this watch since I was 18 years old. It was a very special present. So that's the sort of thing that was.
Nice.
I actually asked for my very first contract mobile phone for my 18th birthday. And my parents said, no, it's your 18th. You're going to get something nice.
So what, before you're on pay-as-you-go?
Pay-as-you-go.
Yeah. Come on, cool. Call me. I'm out of credit.
Exactly.
A lot of those.
Yeah, yeah. You get £5 worth of credits every week, and then you're like, I've got X amount of text messages.
Yeah.
Don't do calls. I'll use the house phone for that.
But Stacey, I want to text Stacey, Mum. No, you've had your phone allowance. Oh, she's going to break up with me.
Would you like a Russo Pay?
Yes.
So this comes in from Jaron Walker, who said, hey guys, I feel like I haven't been communicating with you as much as I usually do lately. For some reason, Luke calling me simply Small Afro Games rather than Small Afro Games Jaron Walker during my super chat the other day bruised my soul.
Jokes aside, a quick update. Crystal and I are doing well, and actually I've been watching NXT every Wednesday. Nothing against AEW itself, but the online fan base can be very toxic and it turns me off the program. Mm. Now, I think on this, those who really like NXT think the AEW fan base is toxic, and those who really like AEW think the WWE fan base is toxic. So really, there's just a toxic fan base that we should just ignore.
Yes. Is to catch people up, is Crystal Bullet Club t-shirt girl? Yes, we set these two up.
Yeah. And also I feel like Jaren has put his WWE bias into that relationship.
Yeah.
To make him like, no, we don't watch AEW. We're watching NXT now.
I bet he's going to say 2K20 is a good game. It has to be.
Anyway, on to the Rusev. As I've previously written about, I had a little experience assisting my friend Isaac at House of Glory in New York. First show I went to, a few lesser-known wrestlers asked me if I wanted to ring the bell for the show.
Oh, cool.
I was happy to do it, but I didn't realise how much pressure that job is. The timing has to be right. You always have to be ready to ring it because the match could end at any point, and if you screw it up, everyone looks at you and does the classic "you effed up" chant.
Yeah.
Surely, they would have communicated to you what the finish is. Because...
That is saying that indie shows have some form of organisation.
But I know people who have worked at indie shows, who work on the sort of the production side of thing, who are told what the finish is going to be because they need to queue up music and they need to queue up videos and stuff like that. So people in the production do know.
You're talking about the indie shows that we've seen.
And other ones as well that I know outside of this work.
Okay.
Anyway, the main event of the show was Amazing Red versus a wrestler named Smiley, a guy in a mask that I could only describe as Mankind's mask mixed with The Fiend's. It's both of those masks and quite lame. there was a DQ finish where Smiley's lackey interfered and jumped Amazing Red. I had to ring the bell over and over and over again to build tension with the situation because the guys wouldn't stop beating down Amazing Red.
Oh, the old WCW ding, 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 ding.
Last spot of the night was Smiley powerbombing Red from the ring to the outside through a table. Something must have gone wrong because he legitimately got hurt. Ooh. The crowd was told to leave, not knowing if it was a work or a shoot. I had to help clean up the arena around Red and held water for him in case he needed it before the paramedics showed up. He got put into an ambulance and went to the hospital that night. It's a depressing story, but I like the fact that I helped, even if it was just a little.
nursing to bring it back to me.
Even if it was just a little, and nurse an injury to a wrestler. He's obviously fine now. I think he's the co-owner of House of Glory, if I'm not mistaken. I think you might be right. Ooh. Typing this email made me realise I've not officially met him, rather than just assisted him. Is this a Rusev nay? A Rusev maybe? Who knows? Love
Ooh,
you guys.
It's a new one. It's a Rusev... Ah, oh, what rhymes with hey? Rusev.
Hey.
Are you okay?
Yeah, a Rusev...
Rusev, are you okay? Okay. I've just got a picture of Smiley up. I think that's a pretty cool mask.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
This one comes in from Brandon from Texas, who says, "Hey, Luke, Ollie, and the rest of the team. On again, off again, pledge hammer here. We'll be back soon when that sweet, sweet tax return hits. I'm just writing to say thank you for all so much broadly fine work you do. From hearing the emails read out on the podcast, from watching Southland Tales once a month, to Ollie not singing my crap gimmick, Fear, while in, a while back, instead going with... Okay, sorry. Along with Ollie not signing my crap gimmick, Fear, a while back, instead going with the absolute mockery haiku.
Are you kidding? That's the best one we've ever had.
Yeah.
Haiku is the best submission we've ever had.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brandon. I've got to agree with my learned friend here. Listening to the podcast these past few years has been a constant source of entertainment for me. Now onto the Rusev phase. About 5 years ago, I went to a local indie show near my hometown for a company called OSW, Old School Wrestling. The show was in a junior high school gym and it was quite small and sweaty, but I had a great time meeting many local wrestlers. The main reason I went was to meet one of my favourite WWE wrestlers from my childhood, Matt Hardy.
Oh, wow.
This was only a few months before he debuted his Woken gimmick in Impact. Sorry, that's the broken gimmick in Impact. And he was incredibly nice and posed for dozens of photos before the show where he defeated a guy named Jake Logan in the main event. A few years later, I attended a different indie show near Denton, Texas that was absolutely stacked with talent. I got to meet Jeff Cobb, Chavo Guerrero, and the legendary JR himself. Sadly, I didn't get pictures with Jeff or Chavo, but I did get one with JR, who talked to me for a full 15 minutes before the show.
That's cool. Oh my God.
Yeah, 15 minutes with JR.
What would you ask him? Was it all barbecue pictures?
Because I would just want to talk about X7 and like his run with Paul Heyman. That is pretty much what I would want to talk to JR about.
What a
also, why do you hate New Japan so much?
Yes, yeah. That's fun. I've just got nothing in my head. I feel like I need food.
We've got to do a live show in a minute, dude. You need to rally. Anyway, where do we get to? I don't remember everything we talked about, but he did tell me a story about picking up Vince McMahon in a rental car once, and Vince made him drive back to the rental place because he didn't like the smell of the interior. When they finally got another one, JR said Vince made him sit in the car while it was running in the parking lot for almost an hour while Vince meticulously inspected the inside to make sure it was okay. Anyway, JR also signed my copy of SmackDown vs. Raw 2006 for the PlayStation. It was an all-around nice guy. Sorry for the long email. Okay, keep up the great work. P.S. Can I get a woo-loo-loo-loo from Ollie?
Oh, is that for Sakazaki?
Woo-loo-loo-loo-loo-loo-loo. I thought it was like... Well, I thought it was like a woo-loo-loo from Pokemon, the sheep one.
Is that a sheep thing?
Yeah, oh, the sheep one's called woo-loo, isn't it?
I've crashed.
But it might have been the Yukazaki thing.
Anyway, what a story, though.
Picture it didn't happen. There's him with Matt Hardy.
Oh, getting choked out. He's going to eat you.
There's JR.
With an Andre the Giant jumper.
Yep, and there's the signed copy of SmackDown Vs. Raw 2006.
With Cena and Batista on the cover.
That's a great story from Vince, though, right?
Yeah. Imagine being told that one-on-one by JR.
Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, I mean, that is a bit indicative of someone who's not in control of their own mind.
Yeah.
I don't like the way this car smells. No, drive us back. I want to find a new car. I would inspect that car for an hour.
While you sit there with the engine running.
And to not have any kind of awareness that this is a weird, wrong thing. Not wrong thing to do, but you know, you've got someone there you're...
Yeah.
Given a bad day to.
I've said this many times, but it does bear worth repeating. Whatever. I'd like to repeat this story. It was one that I think JR told, where he said that he was traveling once with Gerald Briscoe and he farted in the car and it was so bad Gerald Briscoe threw up. They then told Vince McMahon this story. Vince thought it was the funniest thing in the world, so spent the entire day trying to force himself to fart next to Gerald Briscoe to make him throw up again, and ended up crapping his pants, and then had to go out and do a segment.
Wow.
That's a madman.
No. He's a genius, Luke. Everyone keeps saying it. He's a genius.
We've got one more to read out from Johannes, who writes, "Hello, WrestleTalk crew. I'm calling this a Rusev maybe because I'm not 100% sure it counts. I was at a tattoo parlor today getting my latest piece. And while I was there, I overheard the artist in the next chair talking to his client. I couldn't quite make out what they were saying, but I overheard the word wrestler, so I zoned in right away. The artist was talking about some wrestler that he tattooed either last Thursday or is going to tattoo this Thursday. Oh, something right. about Thursday. But what I did hear him say was, yeah, the guy's amazing. He's got a match in Chicago this weekend. No. He's even shown me this video of him doing a backflip off a cage.
No.
He invited me to come check out his wrestling academy in Fulton, Georgia. I might go check it out.
No.
I immediately turned to him and asked if he was talking about Cody Rhodes, and he said, yeah, the American Dreams kid. He then went on to express how excited he was to tattoo Cody because he was told him he was getting modeled for an action figure and this tattoo was going to be on that figure. He was excited and he couldn't wait to buy it. I don't even know this man, but I'm genuinely excited for him to get that Cody action figure and might even get one myself too. I doubt this counts as a Rusev hate, but hopefully Cody Rhodes' tattoo artist counts as a maybe. Thanks for your consistent content, Johannes. And I do want to point out, this was sent 8 days ago.
Wow.
So this was sent way before.
Yeah.
Like, that tattoo became the, oh my God, have you seen Cody's tattoo?
So does that mean the tattoo's going to be on the action figure?
Yeah.
Series 1 action figure?
I'm guessing so, or if they're going to do like another action.
I thought they'd already made
it. They might do like a limited, you know, in wave 3, you get a new Cody figure. Yeah. It's not like WWE always used to do like, you know, you get 5 rocks, you know, per season or whatever. Because they're going to be the biggest selling toys. And maybe it will be like, you know, Revolution Cody with the jacket and...
a removable tattoo, hopefully.
Yeah, so there you go. Johannes met that tattoo artist who did Cody's American Nightmare Family tattoo.
Biggest heel in wrestling right now. Wow.
But it's not the tattoo artist's fault.
So I must...
because actually it's a very good tattoo. It's just in the wrong place.
So there's Rusev Hayes, there's Rusev Maybes, there's now Rusev, are you okay? Mm-hmm. This is none of those.
Because this is like, he's met the guy who's going to do a tattoo on Cody.
Yeah, yeah.
This wasn't like the tattoo guy sent us the Rusev Hay.
It's almost a Rusev Hay with one removed.
Yeah.
Rusev Hay first removed. Let's just call it that.
Yeah. I can highly recommend to you The Twilight Zone as well, the 2019 Jordan Peele show.
Oh yeah, you started
I've watched
it.
Two episodes of it, one of which I'd already seen before, which was the Nightmare at 30,000 Feet episode, because when it got released last year through to my connections with The Twilight Zone podcast that I used to host at Once Upon a Time, I got to watch Nightmare at 30,000 Feet and Replay, which I think is episode 3. I'm actually on the Twilight Zone podcast episode reviewing Replay, if you want to go check that out in their archives, as well as the season 3 wrap-up, which has just went up January. Anyway, so I watched Nightmare at 30,000 Feet again with my wife, and I also watched The Comedian, which stars Camille Nanjiani. And I liked Nightmare a lot better the second time round. The first time, I think I was too excited. I Phantom Menaced it, where I was so excited, and then I watched it, and it didn't quite live up to my expectations, but I just pretended I liked it anyway. but actually, on the second viewing, I do think it's really, really good. I think Adam Scott's amazing. And there's a lot more subtext in there that I missed the first time round. And The Comedian is very good. It's a very simple story. I think it's quite nicely paced throughout, and it's got a very satisfying conclusion.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's very good.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. And so if you've got Now TV or access to Now TV like I have, it's you can watch all 10 episodes there. Awesome. We've also recently started rewatching Parks and Recreation.
Oh, why are you rewatching it?
Because we've watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine like 3 times in a row, so it's time to break that up until Series 5 is released on Netflix, or Series 6 is released on Netflix on March 16th. So I'm rewatching that.
Ron Swanson. What a guy.
So, yeah, he is like the best thing in the show. Early doors, I really like the relationship between Andy and April. I think that's really nice because it's before Andy becomes a very annoying character.
And I never find Andy annoying.
Well, by the end of Parks and Recreation, he becomes a very annoying character.
I love Chris Pratt so much. I never found him annoying.
Oh no, I think he gets a bit.
He's too affable, and he's got a little chubby cheeks.
No, I think they totally Joey him.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they totally Joey him. Yeah, but I've actually quite enjoying it. So we've watched all of series 2, as we're now on to season 3, and I'm enjoying it, man. It's actually.
It's good. You skip season 1 then.
Yeah, well, you may as well. Like all the.
It's barely canon.
All the stuff with Leslie and Brandanowitz doesn't really work. But when Brandanowitz is with Anne, that's much better. Have you got anything else you want to add? You look tired, man.
Yeah. Why did we've got to go now?
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right.
But there's also Wrestle Talk Live.
Fuck it, you know what I was gonna okay, plug that quickly.
Was that why you were just spiraling around talking to yourself? About the, I'm watching this at the moment.
Well, I thought I was trying to engage you in a conversation, but that wasn't doing. But plug Wrestle Talk Live quickly.
Yes. So on Monday, the 16th of March in London, we are going to not be starting a wrestling promotion.
Yes.
That's the top line. We're not starting a wrestling promotion. Underneath that top line, we have selected and partnered with some of the best British wrestling promotions in the country to stage matches on this show. So it's kind of like a Wrestle Talk presents a Wrestle Talk showcase of all these fantastic wrestlers and indie companies in the UK. Plus, we're doing a live show too. So in the hour before the first bell, we will be doing a live podcast on stage. That's me, that's Luke, that's Laurie, Pete, Adam, Blompier. So get your tickets at WrestleTalkLive.com and come and see us. Come out and support the show.
There is a link to it in the podcast description. And also in that podcast description is a link to two WrestleTalk Spotify playlists, one of which is the tracks we're listening to in the office currently. We've all selected 10 tracks that we're really enjoying at the moment. And the other one there is called Discover. And that is the one I'm really most excited about. If you've got a Spotify account, it's a collaborative playlist. You can all just add tracks to that, and you can share tracks and discover tracks with other members of the Swaft Nation and the Pod Swafters. Discover new music, share the music you love. It's a collaborative playlist, add the tracks on there. Obviously, don't abuse it, you know, be cool about it. Or check out the tracks that we're really enjoying on Spotify at the moment. Give it a follow. Give us also a follow on the Spotify playlist, on Spotify podcast as well.
You know how you said don't abuse it?
Yeah.
Tim Arndt has added what looks like 50 tracks.
Oh, Tim.
And they are... What are these? They look like heavy rock songs.
Yeah.
Master Plan, Magnum, Love Bite, King Gizzard.
Oh, King Gizzard and the any of these people. The Blizzard Wizards.
Judas Priest, Iron Maiden.
I've never heard King Gizzard and the Blizzard Wizard, but I do think that's a great name. It sounds like something that Adam Buxton would have come up with.
Yes, talking about great names, I can see the people in the offices usernames for mm-hmm. Spotify. I wonder who Rye Quinn is.
Yep.
Bit of Pete Quinnell. Blake Station 1. What happens if I click on his... Oh, it shows me who he's following. He's following someone called B Badooby Churches and Spotify UK.
Yeah, so, you know, there's links in there, so add in so that Tim Arndt is not every single track that's in there, along with 10 tracks from Ollie and 2 from me that I added in. So, yeah, it's good stuff. Thank you all for listening. Give us a little follow on Spotify as well, if you're listening on the podcast there. Give us a subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you listen there with a little 5-star rating and a review. It really helps us out. Find us all on Twitter, on Instagram, WrestleTalk.official. On Facebook and all that good stuff. It's all about the socials these days, Ollie Davis. There's links for it in the podcast description. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.